I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm really excited tonight. So, what Joel's what the Sozo's Life podcast was recently about was a recap of a conference that we went, that some people had the pleasure of going with the interns to. I was one of those people. It was really awesome. It was a good honor. And so we I wasn't able to go the first day, but when I got there late the second day. And so when I got there, they started the night off with worship, and while I was worshiping, I was just saying, "Spirit flow," over and over. Just spirit flow, spirit flow. No hindrances. When a creek, when cute little beavers, as cute as they are, they set up little dams made out of sticks, and they stop the water. And so I pictured water flowing freely with nothing in its way. And I was thinking, like, how amazing is water? And so I was like, spirit flow, spirit flow. And then one of the first scriptures I looked at while studying this was talking about a flood. But we'll get to that in a second. So then a word popped into my head that related to both flowing and water. It was the word breakthrough. And during worship, just because you're not singing the lyrics word for word verbatim doesn't mean you're not in worship. You can be in worship and God can just encounter you and you could start singing a new song to him with the same beat or even with your own beat. God will encounter you during worship. Tangent, worship is an awesome time. I think a lot of the churches today, a lot of the people in the church take worship for granted. There's people around the world that would get their, like, they'd get thrown in prison and probably even worse for worshiping God like we do. So how much granite do we take for that? Oh, worship is cool, but I don't like that last song. It's kind of slow. That's crazy. That was one of my thoughts when I first got here as an unsaved little kid. But so I was encountering God during worship, and I was saying spirit flow, spirit flow. I got the water visual, and then I got the word breakthrough. Just popped into my head. And then as I zoned back into the song, the next line was, "You're the God of breakthrough." And, like, that was confirmation. It was it. I was like, that's God's stamp of approval right there. So give me 2 Samuel 5, 18 through 20. So that conference and that moment started this whole sermon that I'm going to share with you guys today. The Philistines went out and deployed themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. So the Valley of Rephaim, I looked up the meaning. It actually means giant. The story is about David. this guy slays one giant, and like that's what he's known for the rest of his life. He's like, "Yo, you're the giant slayer. This place is named Valley of Giants. Go here, yeah." So he goes into Valley of Rephaim. right before this, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against these Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said, "Go up. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So he asked God, "Should I go?" God says yes. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them. Stop right there. So, and then I looked up the meaning of Baal Perazim. And I've heard the word Baal before, but like it was used in like a negative context. And like it's usually what they like, it, you know, in all honesty, it's what they name demons. We had a clean class talking about how like how to stay like sexually pure and stuff like that. And this one demon was called Baal. They had an audio clip of this like old like southern pastor, and he would go, "Baal of Peor. They're using Baal of Peor to sell you hamburgers. They're using Baal of Peor to sell men tires." And it's funny, but it's so true. They're using scantily dressed women to sell everything nowadays. And it's so hard. I stopped using Snapchat years ago, but my wife was telling me that. She's like, "Oh, there's this gross thing on Snapchat nowadays. It's basically this and that, and it's just gross. Like, why can't society address that the same way they do a Christian that tries to stand out?" Anyways, I'm getting off topic. So he goes there, and so Baal actually just means like owner or master. It has a negative connotation because a lot of people have used that to name like demons, like, "Oh, that's the master of Peor." But this one, Perazim, actually means breakthrough. Yeah. David went to the owner of breakthrough. This is just the name of the city as of right now. Defeated them there. And then he said, next slide, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. I was like, God, you are so good. I had this slight vision that lasted 0.2 seconds, and then I had one word, and then there was one verse in a song, and now you've given me one verse in the Bible. God is the God of connections. And the way I saw this connection, go back. The way I saw this connection is the Lord has broken through my enemies. Whatever's in front of you, whatever's against you, God will break through it. We talk about it a lot because we want you to get it ingrained in your heads. That way, my coach used to say, the way you practice is the way you're going to pray. The way you handle yourself when there's not a game on the line is how you're going to handle yourself when there's a game on the line. Got a lot of athletes in here, and they can contest to it. If you practice hard and you train hard, you're going to play hard. So the Lord has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. When water comes against something, it isn't just like come against it. The water made the Grand Canyon. Like these mountains cannot stand against water. So therefore he called that name Baal of Perazim, the owner of breakthrough. This is where the God of breakthrough came from, was David going up against giants. So I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. This is the end of the title of the sermon. Give me the breakthrough slide. Oh, I said it. That's the end of it. So if you're taking notes, put it like the end of the page, because you're going to fill in the rest, I promise. So ooh, what's he going to say? Hook, line, and sinker. Got him. So that's where the God of breakthrough came from. And then God put on my heart, look up different types of breakthrough. And I was like, what do you mean different types of breakthrough? Like they're like, you break through and that's about it. He's like, yeah, yes and no. Just look it up. Trust me, I'm God. Trust me. I was like, okay, you're God, for sure. So then I went to Genesis 32:24. Then I thought about this story. This guy's on the run from his brother who wants to hurt him it's a really good story. Just Google Esau and Jacob and like find the chapters of the Bible that it's in and then read all of it. It's really good, it'll bless you. But we're gonna go over just these two verses in the story for time's sake. And then Jacob was left alone and a capital M man wrestled with him. A lot of people say that this was like God himself or a depiction of God. Wrestled him until the breaking of the day. Wrestled him all night until break of day. You don't wrestle somebody all night unless you know there's something for it. You don't go 12 rounds with Jesus, bare knuckle boxing, with God, I should say. You don't go 12 rounds with what scholars say to be God, bare knuckle boxing, unless you think there's going to be something good from it. Next verse. And he said, so they wrestle all night, and finally the angel or the man, whoever's there. So he says, "What do you want?" And then Jacob refuses to let him go. It's more of a wrestling match than it is a boxing match. They're wrestling, and he's not letting go, and he's just not letting go no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter what's around him, no matter what's people saying, no matter what the doctor's saying, no matter what's going on at his house, no matter what's going on in his life. There's a lot of trials and tribulations going on in this guy's life right now. His brother is literally trying to kill him. His brother is chasing after him, trying to kill him. His brother is uprooting his entire life. Yes, this man has to move his family and his entire farm and his livelihood. Imagine having to move to like Japan because somebody's chasing you. That'd be intense. That'd be a test of faith. So while this is all going on, he holds on to him. He says, in the midst of this storm, I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. And then this happens. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, which Hebrew is like a loose translation of heel grabber, second place. But Israel, you have struggled with man and God and have prevailed. I will take your name and I will turn you into second place and I will now call you Israel. Pastor Paul, what does Israel mean? It's a translation of Israel. Off the top of your head, do you know anything? No? Israel's established. Israel's God's chosen people. I didn't. What was that?
God prevails.
God prevails. That's what it means. Thank you. Oh, that's good. That's so good. That blows my mind. I will turn you into second place. I'll turn you into this heel grabber. I'll turn you into this last place guy. And I'll turn you into who I prevail you to be. When you guys feel like you're in last place, that's right about when God's about to change your name. So Jacob wrestled him. Jacob worked. You don't wrestle with God all night and call that easy. That's work. That's like WROK, all capitals, work. So then I thought, did I say WORK? Yeah, work. Somebody had me think I'll spell it wrong. Okay, so I was like, oh, that's work. I was like, you know what? Work works. Go ahead and put up the next title slide. I was like, so if Jacob works really hard to get his blessings, then I guess work creates breakthrough. And I was like, oh man, this is pretty good. I write this down. And as I'm writing it down, I feel in my spirit, that's not it. And I was like, how come? And then I get the image of the cross, and God says, if work created a breakthrough, there wouldn't be a need for the cross. If you could shake yourself free every time, every situation, if you can shake yourself free of these shackles, Jesus wouldn't have went to the cross. There wouldn't have been any need. So then I was like, okay, I got to keep studying, right? He's like, yeah, you're right. Listening to God. I was like, good. We in this together, right? He was like, yes. God, take the wheel. Give me Mark 4, 38 through 40. So then I was like, let me look up a place where it doesn't look necessarily like work. Hey, Daniel, I forgot. Can you go grab me a pillow from one of the couches in the sound room? Okay, so, well, he does that for me. Thank you, Daniel. I'm getting tired, guys. It's hard work up here. Eh? Sorry. I'll stop. Bad puns. So this story, a lot of people know it, but Jesus and his disciples are on a boat, and these guys are professional fishermen. And stuff starts, the water starts getting really choppy. A big storm comes, and the water starts swinging the boat fray to fray. You guys ever feel like you're not even in control of your life anymore? Whatever's around you is bouncing you back and forth. You don't have any rhyme or rhythm. You don't have any reason. Everything is just affecting you. You're not affecting anything. That's how these guys feel. These guys are fishermen. These guys do this for a living. If I was on a plane and it shook a little bit, I'd be like, oh, we're cool. But then if the pilot came running out of the cockpit and was like, we're gonna die, that's when I would freak out. So now that these fishermen are freaking out on a boat, that's when you know it's serious. So then they run down. They're like, hey, where's Jesus at? What is he even doing? I can imagine these guys trying to tie everything down and save the water, save the fish, or save whatever supplies they're trying. And they're holding on because everything around them is stealing everything they have. So they go find Jesus. They're like, I wonder what Jesus is doing. So they go down. They find Jesus stern asleep. He's not even asleep. He's stern asleep. Oh my gosh. That's so good. Not only am I going to sleep through the storm, I'm a knockout. I'll catch you guys in like 12 hours. I need one of those good naps. So he's stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and they said, teacher, do you not care about that we are perishing? Next slide. I'm having fun. Are you guys having fun? So then he arose and rebuked the wind. He went on top of the boat. He went on top of the boat, and he had an arm wrestle with Neptune that lasted 2 months. He said, me and you, Neptune, let's go. For those of you who don't know, Neptune is the Greek god of water. Is that what the scripture says? Did he go out and have an all-out brawl with Neptune? No, Neptune's not even real. He goes up, and he says one phrase. Peace be still. So I was like, how come Jacob had a fight all night, and Jesus just woke up? I woke up like this. That shirt originated from the scripture. I don't know if you knew that. And God spoke to me. Well, God spoke to me using Georgie. Because Georgie said this once, and it like, I don't think I'll ever forget it. So kudos to Georgie. So I'm stealing it, but he got it from God, so I can steal it. Amen? Sometimes you just gotta sleep and let God do the rest. I'll say it again. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, when you have no control over what's going on around you, you sleep. You rest, but God does the rest. You guys catching that? Jacob had control. Jacob had the man who wrestled God all night. He had a grasp on something. So he more or less had like some control over the situation. But when you're on the boat and you're in the middle of the ocean has more or less all the control. But who has control over the ocean? God. Did I point out a bad word? Or like the wrong word? So I'll say it one more time because you guys probably want to write this down. Sleep. Just sleep in the midst of the storm and let God do the rest. So good. Again, kudos to Georgie for allowing God to speak to him for that moment. I almost knocked out right there. Dude, this is so good. What time is it? All right, 7:50, we got it. I want to give some time for worship tonight. Give you guys a heads up. So I help teach the 6 to 12 year olds sometimes. I think it's like 2 times a month or however much they need me. I'm just so happy and it's an honor to do it. There's so much fun. So today we were talking about this guy who brought his sick son to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, if you can heal him, please do it." And Jesus looks at him and he says, "What do you mean, if? Whatever you believe, I'll do." If you combine that with the scripture, when you align your heart's desires with God, it will be done. Whenever your heart's desires line up with God and you believe those desires, it will be done. It will be finished. And out of nowhere, I got this like amazing like phrase revelation. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, we just need to have faith. We need to expect. The phrase, "Give me the I believe God" slide. This was the saying of the week for the kids, and it's so good I had to throw it up here. I believe God, comma, I expect. Which linguistic language art major can tell me what a comma does in a sentence? It pauses. Sometimes you need to, I was going to go back and lay down, but sometimes you just need to, you need to pause. I believe God and pause. You need to breathe. You need to pause. You need to think. You need to think about what he's done in the past so you can know what he's about to do in the now and what he's going to do in the future. Because it's always Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It is Jesus right now, and it'll never stop being Jesus. Go back to verse 40. So I was thinking when I was studying this, and I was like, so if work alone doesn't create breakthrough, what does? And I was going back to this story because this was the story where God told me to study different types of breakthrough. And I was like, so what is it? Is it works? Or is it not works? Is it works in something else? And he revealed to this to me. There's a scripture in the Bible, and you guys are gonna say it with me. Ready? Works without faith is dead. Do that last title slide. Hit it. Slam that beat. Faith and works create breakthrough. That is so good, guys. Now put up the real title. I'm kidding. Works and faith create breakthrough because faith without works is dead. Vice versa. Faith without works, yeah. Vice versa. Works without faith is dead. You can do all these things for God, and then when you get there, you're going to say, "God, we did all these things for you, but what happened?" You did those things, yes, but I never knew you. I never knew you. You knew who I was, but you never let me know who you were. It's intense. So another word for faith is expect. And as a lot of you guys know, we just finished our RIPE series. Read, invite, pray, and expect. And like when I was writing this down, I was going to do something like cool and be like, oh, without the E, you're just R-I-P. But and like as good as it sounds, it doesn't make sense. As good as it sounds, it doesn't make sense. Because you can't read and invite and pray and end up with death. It just doesn't happen. After you do all those, when the I and invite doesn't just mean, I mean, the I for invite doesn't mean invite with your cards. It doesn't mean go out with the second invite cards. Go, hey, come to church. Hey, come to church. Hey, come to church. Hey, come to church. Jesus loves you. Come to church. Come to church. Come to church. It doesn't just mean that. Yes, it can mean that. It means that in a smile. Inviting people is with your life. Is with your day-to-day living, your words, your actions, what you're doing, and especially what you're not doing. I heard a pastor say in a sermon, it was really good. He says the biggest message you'll ever preach is not with your life. It's actually with your lips. Dang it, I messed that up. No, God's grace covers a multitude, amen? Amen. The biggest message you'll preach is not with your lips, but it's with your life. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that was fun. And you start living out a life like that. You start living out a life that is preaching to people. When you don't just believe in God. Believing in God is the beginning of it. The Bible says the demons believe in God. Shoot, after God smacks Hayden, after, I apologize to anybody named Hayden in the room. After God smacks Satan down to hell, yo, you're never going to forget that guy. You never forget to get the guy that gave you a whooping so bad, you're just going to last all eternity. Even the demons believe in God. So believing in God is just the beginning. It's when you start believing God. When you start believing God is who he says he is. He says, I am, period. Nothing else matters. He says, I am everything you need. I am the beginning from the end. I just am. When are you gonna start believing I am? And stop believing in, but start believing. Because I believe in like anime, I know it's out there. I don't believe it though, I don't follow anime thoroughly. I believe God. I follow God. I will tell each and every one of you how much God means to me and what he's done in my life. Shoot, I'm doing it now. There's nothing else out there that would cause that, because there's nothing else out there that is as real as God. Amen? Amen. And so we have this now. We have the works and faith create breakthrough. And I was like, you know what? I wonder what the best example. Mr. Josh on the soundboard, oh, can you start passing out those papers, por favor? So I just for funsies, I was like, you know what? I wonder what's the best, like what's the biggest example of faith? Like who had the most faith? And so I started bouncing around stories in the top of my head. I even spent some time on Google. But how many know the Bible is better than Google? She saw it coming. Shout out to Alicia, she's the dopest. So I started looking for the best example of faith in the Bible. Put up Luke 10:20, por favor. Please, we're almost done. I saved some time for a little activity we're gonna do. It's a lot of fun. It's gonna be life-changing. You guys are not gonna leave the same as you came in, I promise. Have expectancy not in me, but in him. Luke 10:20. That last part after the second comma. But rather rejoice, because your names, the things people call you every day, Anthony Rivas, Gabby, Miranda, Jesse, your guys' names, Allie, I have a smile from ear to ear because I just feel the love of God for each and every one of you right now. It's insane. Pastor Paul, Joel, your names, Joaquin. Each and every one of your names is written in heaven. Who's the King of Heaven? God. So who puts your name there? God. God put your name in heaven, who knew you before you were formed in the womb. If God knows you before you were formed in the womb, before you were even a thing, before you were even a thought, he put your name in heaven. I had this love revelation when I saw this, and I knew it was the best example of faith I could ever find. If God puts our name in heaven, God has faith in us. God has faith in you. He wouldn't have sent his son to the cross to die for you if he didn't have faith in you. God has faith in you, guys. Get that, grasp that. Understand that, dwell on it. When you go to sleep tonight, think about that. God has faith in me. And it's so exhilarating. Anybody have an authority figure in their life ever coach them and encourage them into doing something they didn't think they could even do? That was really fast. Anybody have an authority figure encourage them into doing something you'd even think was possible for you? I'd never get straight A's. Hey, son, if you get straight A's, I'll take you to Disneyland. We're going to Disneyland. I had a water polo coach. We were losing really bad this game. It was like 12-1 or something insane like that. And so we have a halftime, and the score is like a bajillion to one. And this guy is just heated. And it's funny because he's a really calm guy outside the pool deck. But when you get him inside the pool deck, this is a new guy. He looks at you and he says, and he grabs us all with his eyeballs and his intimidating beard and his piercing blue eyes. This guy didn't have blue eyes, he had blue eyes. Grabs us all with his eyes and he says, which one of you out there is going to go out there and think of himself as a man and score on these boys? It was just intense. And so I was like, you know what? I think I'd do it. I saw some kids out there that looked skinnier than I was. So I went and found those two guys. They were on the same side of the pool as I was. I turned to one of them. Turned means like they're trying to guard you. And you grab them by their waist and you put them around and then came to the other guy. I went around. So let's say like the stairs of the goal. I had one guy right here, and I was leaning to the left, and then the goalie was right here. So I didn't have a lot of like goal to aim for because he was blocking most of it because my angle was very like narrow. And I just hucked it. I hucked it, and like I did what's called a donut because the goalie looks so silly when he tries to block a ball that's coming right over his head, because the goalies come up like this, and when you throw it right in the center of their head, they go. A donut, and like the whole team got excited, and then we had a little rally. We still lost a lot to a little bit, but it was cool. And then I went back. I should have left that part of the story out. But it's exhilarating how God can do that for you. If an intense bearded blue-eyed man can do that for me in a swimming pool, how much more? How much more? Can God do that? How much more can the creator of the universe, how much more than the God who knows the hairs in your head do that for you guys? Yeah. He's not calling any of you out. He's calling all of you up. He's saying your name's in heaven. I want you to live like it. My son went to the cross for you. He bore lashes on his back. He looked unrecognizable so I can recognize you. So you guys have those papers. If you don't have a pen, raise your hand. I have some pens in the back. They're red, just like the blood that cleanses us. Get deep, right? Get deep on just some pens. And what I want you to do is we're gonna have an altar call. The band's gonna come up after they write theirs. I want you guys are gonna write what you're gonna expect God to do in this altar call. Somebody get the lights. We're going to come up and we're just going to worship and we're going to worship and we're going to think about what God said to us tonight. Because it wasn't me up here, except for that time that the words got mixed up. That was me. But it was God up here. It was God telling you how much he loves you, how much faith he has in you, and how much breakthrough you can have when you work and you have faith. So if God's name, if God wrote your guys' name in heaven and he has expectations and faith of you, what are you going to expect of him? Expect your wildest dreams. Please, God says, please expect it. God is gonna do whatever you expect him to do. Even if it's just simple. I expect to hear God speak to me. I expect to hear God help me decide what college I'm gonna go to. I hear God saying to me, there's just a Jesus movement coming to Sozo Youth. There's this Jesus-centered orbit that is coming, and Jesus is going to be right in the center, and everything we do is going to be around him. Everything we can do is going to be for him. Everything we do is going to be about him. And when people start seeing us, they're going to want to do that. And then we just tell them it's Jesus, and then they're going to start acting Jesus out. So just write out what you're expecting to do. Who's up here? There's a piano and a guitar player up here. Just write what you expect God to do. And fill it up. Be detailed. Be extravagant. Be wild. Be crazy. God wants that from you guys. God's the creator of the universe. He can do anything. So I expect from him, guys. I expect that this Jesus movement, somebody is going to come up here today and get born again. Again. Like Joel has been talking about, how he's just had this new encounter with God. And God's just closer now to him than God ever was before. God's going to do that to somebody today. God is going to be closer than he ever was. God's going to do that to everybody. Everybody's going to come up here and have an entirely new encounter with Jesus. You're going to experience him in a new way. You're going to experience him in a way that is so real. It changes your DNA. It changes who you are. Like I said at the beginning, you're not going to leave this room the same. And coming up here might seem uncomfortable for some of you guys. You guys can start playing whenever you're ready. You can coming up here might seem uncomfortable for you guys. It was for me when I first got here. And I pinky promise that when you come up here, you're going to wish you came up here way sooner. What have I been missing out on? Getting on a roller coaster you thought looked scary for the first time, and you get off of it and you love the roller coaster. It's now your new favorite ride. Don't be afraid of coming up here. No one's looking at you. Come up here. Life is too short. Life is too short to waste time in the back of the sanctuary. Come up here to the altar. Life is too short to be far from God. God wants you near. He wrote your name in heaven. God wrote your name in his house. When are you going to come in? Tonight, guys, just come in. When you have your stuff written out, you guys can start coming to the front. But come to the front and remember what you wrote. Remember what you wrote down. Remember that tangibleness and the realness of the expectation you have set for God. And realize he's going to fulfill it. You wrote down a promise that you want God to keep. And God keeps his promises. When your desires line up with the will of God, he keeps his promises. The man with the sick son went up to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you can, heal my son. What do you mean, if I can? He who believes, all will be done. Come up tonight. And that paper that you've written that aligned with God's word will be done. Embrace it. Imagine it. Inspect it. Expect it, guys. Expect it. Have faith. God has faith in you. Let's have faith in him. Yes.